All right, amen. Well, tonight, if you would, let's open our Bibles to the book of Job. The book of Job tonight. Job chapter number one. In my personal Bible reading time, every year I ask the Lord to give me a theme or something to look for as I read my Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And usually in the fall, I'll start praying, Lord, just show me as I read from Genesis to Revelation, my daily Bible reading, help me look for something, look for some theme or something. And this year, the Lord put on my heart to look for those who worship God as I go through the Bible. And Job in Job chapter 1, this one verse in particular really stuck out to me about Job and how he worshiped God. And I want to give you this thought tonight. Can I worship in a valley? How could Job, on the worst day of his life, worship God? And it really got a hold of me. I've been studying on it, looking at some things, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Job chapter number one, if you're there, could we stand for the reading of the Word of God? If you're able to, if you're not, I understand. Job chapter number one, I want to start in verse number 12. I will be looking at a lot of the chapter, but I want to pick up in verse number 12 and read down to the end of the chapter. And look at a few things here that the Lord has helped me with, really helped me when it comes to worship. Sometimes as I travel around the country, we're in a different church almost every week. I wonder where people get their idea of worship from. And this has really helped me in my own life, in my devotion life, and I trust it'll help you tonight. Job chapter number 1, verse number 12. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Verse 13 then picks up everything that happened in Job's life. Verse 13 says, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, and they have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and thy servants and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain thy servant, the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. I want you to, I'm going to stop right there. I want you to think about this. Before he could even process the first bad news that was given to him, the next person was standing in line to give the next set of bad news. And before he could even process that, the next one was waiting in line. And so one right after another, before he had a chance to even process one, the next bad news came along the line that you lost this, you lost this, you lost this. And here at the end of verse 19, he's lost his kids. And I want you to see his response. The first response he had after this series of bad news that just hit him in the face. Had all the wind knocked out of him, I'm sure. He says here in verse number 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Let's pray this evening. Father, we sure do love you. And Lord, sometimes we don't understand why bad things come in our life, why tragedies come, and why we're faced with situations that just knock the wind out of us. Lord, as we've seen through the life of Job and what you did with him and how a man, even in the worst, darkest day of his life, he could worship you. Lord, help us to learn from that. Help us to learn. Our first response would be to give you glory for who you are. Bless your people now tonight, I pray. Help us as we hear your word. Allow your Holy Spirit to have liberty in hearts. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we read through this, I don't know about you, but as you look at the life of Job, the Lord has helped me a lot through the book of Job in different areas of my life. But as I was looking at this, and I don't know about you, but I had to stop and ask myself, what would I do if I was in this situation? Would my response be, my first response be, when I've got something that just knocked the wind out of me, fall down and worship God? And truth of the matter is, I don't think it would be. I pray it would be, but I imagine I'd get mad, I might get angry. A whole bunch of emotions just kind of flood through you. You think you lost everything, your wealth and all that you had, and then the last one, all his kids are dead. And what, just his heart must be ripping out of him. And the first thing he does is says he arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Amen. You know, we hear that word worship, it seems like, so much in our culture today and in our religious culture. And I believe most people who are using the word religious probably aren't even saved. There's a lot of churches today, they had their worship service. But yet in that worship service, I don't think God was anywhere near it, because I've been there and seen some of the things they do. And there's nothing in worshiping God that falls in line with anything they did this morning in their church service. Worship is not about the one. Worship is not about a show of performance. It's not about the one doing the worshiping. Worship is all about the one receiving the worship.
Yes. Amen.
And when somebody can stand with their hands in the air and their head in the air and say they're worshiping God, they've not read the Bible. Because every time somebody worshiped in the Bible, they were down on their face.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
In our culture today, in our American culture, or sometimes I believe we just, with the pride of the American pride that we have, and we do have a lot of American pride in our country and our freedoms, but I think it's very hard for us sometimes to really understand what it is to worship and respect someone in authority.
Yes.
As I deal with young people, of course, the lack of disrespect for anybody in authority is just everywhere. I can't hardly find, you go outside of a good church, you can't find even young people that respect authority. And the sad thing is, I'm seeing it more and more in our church and Christian homes, where Christian kids or Christian parents don't teach their children to respect authority in their church. I sat down with my daughters here not too long ago and I said, I don't care what happens in the youth group, we're siding with the preacher and we're siding with the youth pastor. Even if you think something's not right, we're on their side, because that's our pastor. That's where God has placed us. Amen.
Yep.
And so I try to head off any issues that would come. Don't come to me. I told my girls, don't come to me just thinking I'm going to get on a different side than the preacher. I'm on preacher's side. If he says this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to do. Amen.
Yep. Amen.
Because I believe that that's the authority God placed us under.
Yep.
Amen. Well, that's a little extra. So worship, what does worship mean? One of my favorite books to use along with the Bible is old Webster's 1828 Dictionary. Amen. Open it up. This is what Webster had to say about worship. Worship is to honor, to treat with civil reverence, to honor with extreme submission. Worship is to fully surrender and honor the one you are worshiping. Amen. In times when they had kings, when you went into the presence of a king, we got a little glimpse of that through the book of Esther. You didn't even enter the king's courtroom, except you were granted permission to. And upon entering the presence of the king, you didn't walk in with your head held high. You walked in with head bowed down in humble reverence to his authority. And most of the time, you never turned your back on the king as you left either. You backed out with your head bowed in reverence to his authority. When it comes to worship, how can we worship God when we don't give reverence to his authority? As I was looking at Job and I was asking the Lord, how could he worship on this day that everything seemed to go wrong? He lost everything. His heart should be broken. Why is he not grieving and yelling or screaming and running around? Why was his first response to worship God? Let's go back to verse number one and let's see some things here that I think will help us here as we understand how did Job worship in the valley. Verse number one of Job 1, it says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. And it says this, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. First thing I see as I was looking here at the life of Job, how could he worship on the worst day of his life? He could worship on his worst day of his life because on the good days, Job had a fear of God.
Yes.
Job feared God. He had a great reverence for God. He didn't tremble in cowardice or of someone who would hurt him. He had a great revere, a great love for God. It says Job feared God. Job could worship because he had a fear of God. Matter of fact, that's not the only place. Look in verse number 5. It says, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all, according to his kids. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Job had such a fear of God that just in case, he said, my kids cursed God in their hearts, I'm going to offer a sacrifice and ask God to forgive them. That's how much fear and respect Job had for the holiness of God.
Yes.
Job had so much respect for the holiness of God that just in case his kids thought something bad in their mind, he said, God, I'm going to offer you a sacrifice and ask for forgiveness for that. Nowadays we have no fear of God in his holiness because we allow all kinds of filth.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's played on television and everywhere else, it just everything's anti-God and it doesn't bother us at all. But Job said, I don't want that to be in my home. I'm gonna ask God to have forgiveness on my kids just in case they done something that would come against his glory. Not only do we see it there in verse number 5, but also the testimony of his fear of God. Look in verse number 9. Then Satan answered in the debate between Satan or in the dialogue between Satan and the Lord. Satan answered the Lord, verse number 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job, what's it say?
Fear God
for naught? Job had such a testimony for his fear of God that everybody around knew it. What's our testimony to God? What does this have to do about worshiping God? Before we can worship God on in the valley, we need to understand what was going on in the everyday life of Job.
Yeah.
In everyday life of Job, Job had a walk with God. He had a daily walk with God. We find that here. He offered sacrifices continually. He had a fear, a respect for the holiness of God. That he didn't want sin in his home. He didn't want things that would come against the glory of God in his home. And see, he had a respect, a fear of God in his home. If we're going to worship God has to come from a fear of God. Not only I see that, but I see worshiping God comes from an obedience to God. In verse number 22, it says, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job didn't sin. He didn't break the law of God. Amen. And I find that the fear of God and obedience to God go hand in hand. If you would, turn over to the book of Deuteronomy. I'm going to look at a few verses here in Deuteronomy. That will help us understand how the fear of God and obedience of God go hand in hand. Jesus asked a question in the New Testament. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Right.
How can we say we fear God and have a love for God if we don't obey him?
Yeah.
Huh? Right. How can we? Deuteronomy, are you there? Let's look in Deuteronomy verse chapter number 6, first of all. Verse number 1, Deuteronomy 6, verse number 1. Now these are the commandments, Deuteronomy 6, verse number 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest, what's the next word?
Fear
the Lord. How can we fear the Lord? Look what he says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged on the that thy days may be prolonged. If we're going to have a fear of God, we have to obey and keep his commandments. Yeah. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, turn over there, Deuteronomy 8, verse number 6. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Yes. Deuteronomy chapter 13, turn over Deuteronomy chapter 13. I think the fear of God and obedience to God go hand in hand. Deuteronomy chapter 13, look in verse number 4. He says, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him. And what? Keep his commandments.
Right.
And obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. Do you think God has something here about the fear of God and obeying God go hand in hand?
Yes.
Matter of fact, Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, Solomon had this to say, verse number 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Pastor Mike, I think there's a lot of people that can't worship God because they're not obeying him. There's a lot of people that they can't worship God because there's no fear of God in their life. You wonder how Job can worship God on the worst day of his life is because he had a daily walk with God. He had a daily fear of God, and he tried as best he could to obey God every day. There's some basic things that we have to put in order in our life if we're going to worship God when everything's falling apart. Amen?
Amen.
Second thing I see is worship not only comes from a fear of God, worship comes from obedience to God, but look in verse number 20. When all the bad news come, verse number 20 says, then Job arose, rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And look what he says in verse number 21. This is what he said. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Worship comes from a submissive heart. I truly believe there's a lot of people who can't worship God because they're not surrendered to his will for their life. God has really helped me in my life in this area. If I'm going to worship God, I have to accept his will for my life for today. Brother Mike, I believe there's a lot of people who can't worship God because they don't like what God gave them today.
Yeah.
This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Did Job have this on his calendar that was the day he was going to have when he got up that morning?
No.
Mm-mm. But by the end of the day, when everything went wrong, Job said, the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, I accept your will for today. The Lord Jesus, on the worst day of his life in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, not my will, but thine be done. We can't worship God if we don't have a surrendered heart. Young people, you're never going to truly worship God until you're willing to accept his will for your life for today. And sometimes we don't like that. When things don't go my way, I don't like that at all. When there's a wreck out on the interstate and I don't get to my destination on time, I don't like that sometimes. But I have to remember, this is the day God has made. I will rejoice.
Amen.
And be glad in it. And I'm telling you, God had to teach me some things to remember. It's not about me, it's about him. My ways and my plans for my life might not line up with what he has planned for my life. But as I, on many occasions, have said, God, here I am. I will do whatever you want me to do. God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. Many times I have fully surrendered and say, God, here's my life. I will do whatever you want for me. Sometimes what he wants for me is not always what I want for me. God wanted Job to go through some things that hurt. God wanted Job to experience some things that broke his heart. But he was willing to accept God's will for his life for that day. Yep. Let me ask you, are you willing to accept God's will for your life for today? For tomorrow? For the next day? Let me share with you, Brother Mike. I'll just share some of the things God did to help me understand this. When things don't always go my way, y'all can laugh because it's funny now, but at the time, I didn't think it was too funny. Back in September, I was heading to Rock of Ages for a training class. We had new missionary applications. I was teaching some classes to the new missionaries. And so we were headed down there. I was supposed to go, and we were staying in, matter of fact, we were staying in Heber Springs at Brother Crumpton, where Andrew Aaron is. We were staying there. And the church and Brother Crumpton, I think it was on Friday, he said, where are you going to be on Sunday? I said, well, I'm supposed to be in Tennessee preaching at a church. And Monday morning, I had my training classes started at 7 o'clock Monday morning. I had to be there for orientation all. And I was supposed to preach at a church in Tennessee there. And the pastor called me about 5 minutes before I talked to Brother Crumpton. He said, don't come. Our church has COVID. So Brother Crumpton said, where are you going to be Sunday? I said, I don't know. I just got open. What I had planned is not what God had planned, amen. Brother Crumpton's mom had broken her leg and she was going to have emergency surgery at the hospital in Little Rock. He said, can you cover services for me on Sunday? I said, well, I can do Sunday morning, but I really have to be on the road. It's about an 8-hour, 9-hour drive from his church to the office. I said, I got to be there at 7 o'clock Monday morning. He says, I really need you to preach Sunday night too. Is there any way you can? And I said, Lord, help me. I don't want to, but Lord, if this is your will, I will. So he had to be at the hospital in Little Rock with his mom, and I covered services for him. I took a nap in the afternoon, and so I had it all planned out, Brother Mike. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to preach, get done with church. I'm going to get on the road. I got my Unshackled app on my phone. I've got some Bible things. I'm going to go down the road. I'm going to just listen to people and their testimony and Unshackled. I'm going to have me a time with the Lord. I had some sermon audio lined up. I had some Brian McBride lined up to preach. He always fires me up. So I had 8 hours of driving plan. It's going to be good. I got down the road. I'm having a good time. About 3 o'clock in the morning, got just the other side of Murfreesboro going up the mountain, and boom, my tire blew out on the truck. It was raining and my tire blew out. And I said, oh, this is a good thing. My girls had just got me a brand new set of Milwaukee drills and an impact wrench. I said, I got that. I'm going to be NASCAR pit crew right here alongside the road, 3:30 in the morning. I jumped out, got my impact out, and I'm changing that tire. It's raining. It's wet. Got my tire changed, and my spare tire is got 10 pounds of pressure in it. So I got in the car. I drove real slow to the next exit, got the gas in. And I was supposed to get to one of the other missionaries' house and spend the rest of the night. By the time I got there, it was 6:30. It was 5:30 in the morning. I had to leave his house no later than 6:30 to get to. So I said, there ain't no use getting any sleep. Got me a shower, and come to find out, the grass there alongside the interstate was full of chiggers. I was itching from head to toe. I'm telling you, being in that grass, change that tire, I'm itching all over. I was like, praise the Lord, give me a bottle of alcohol, right? Rubbing alcohol and rub it all over it. And I get about 2 miles down the road from Brother Bellamy's house. I'm not making this up. I'm just telling you, God had to help me accept, am I willing to accept his will for my life for today? I'm still I'm like, praise the Lord. We got new missionaries going to be with Rock of Ages. I'm excited. We're going to teach. We're going to see more souls saved. I was trying to be as positive as possible. 2 miles down the road from his house, before I get to the office, the transmission just completely goes out right in the Brother Mike's like, what? And I had to coast over to the side of the street there in Cleveland, Tennessee. And I said, Lord, this is your will for my life for today. I don't know what you have planned for me, but this is your will for today. I'd called Dr. Ellis, said, I'm going to be late. But I got full warranty. I got warranty on my transmission, so I called up. They got it to the dealer, looked at my paperwork. Mr. Vincent, you're in order. You get warranty. You'll get a rental car. Praise the Lord. It's all covered under the warranty. Amen. Yep. And so I got a ride to the office. I was a couple hours late, and we had our classes. And Tuesday morning, the dealer called me up, said, "Mr. Vincent, the warranty people aren't in a hurry to pay your warranty." I said, "Well, the paper says black and white. Transmission is covered." And he said, this company wants to take their time. Tuesday goes by, Wednesday goes by, Thursday goes by, and there's still no approval to get my transmission fixed. And I'm wanting to get back to my family. They're actually in Oklahoma at my in-laws, and I'm thinking, how am I going to get back? Dad already told me it was going to be 3 days after it got approved to order a transmission to get it in. So I'm thinking, I'm going to be here in a whole nother week. I want to get back to my family. And I said, "Lord, this is what you have for me. Help me to accept your will for my life today." Yep. Friday comes around, and the guy called me. He said, "They just approved to get your transmission fixed." He said, "You can come in Saturday morning, pick up your rental car." I had already been there almost a week. So I go Saturday morning, pick up the rental car. I wanted to grab a few more things out of the back of the truck that I can have. Dr. Ellis got excited. I got work for Brother John to do. We're building our new chapel. He had construction work he wanted me to do. I think he was calling the dealer on the side saying, "Don't approve it yet." No, that's not how it was. But so I went to my truck, opened up the door, and everything from the glove box is on the seat. And I thought, well, that's strange. And I opened up the console, grabbed a couple things in there, and I had bought a brand new bag of peanut M&Ms to eat while I was driving down the road, and they were missing. And I thought, that's not right. My peanut M&Ms is gone. And Brother Mike, I turned around, looked in the back, and my brand new Milwaukee tool bag was gone. I'm not making this up. I'm telling you, I'm not making this up. If you know me, I love tools. But you know what? I love the Lord more. I said, "Lord, this is your will for me today." And I had to go back inside, and I look at, and the man that I was dealing with was a lost man, very evident lost man. And I tried to witness to him a couple times, and he just, "I don't want to hear it." I said, "I think my truck's been broken into." They went and took a look, got security camera, 9 different vehicles, brand new vehicles been broken into. Mine wasn't the only one, all kinds of stuff stolen out of there. I said, "Lord, this is your will for my life for today." It's not easy. I'm telling you, God had to teach me. When everything's not going my way, how am I going to respond? Monday, Tuesday comes around. The guy called me, says, "We rushed your transmission. It's in. Your truck is running." I went down and got a gift card to Chick-fil-A and a thank you note, and I put it in there with a gospel track, and I went to the man at the dealer. And I knew it wasn't his fault that everything had happened with my transmission. And I'd watched him get chewed out about 4 or 5 times already with different customers through the week. And I went in and handed him that card, and I said, "I want to thank you for all your help this week." And he looked at me, Brother Mike. He says, "I've never met anybody like you." Wow. He said, "You didn't get mad one time this week." I said, "Sir, I tried to share with you about the Lord. Here's a gift card to Chick-fil-A. Go buy you a lunch. I want to thank you for all your help this week." I don't know if the man's going to get saved or not, but I want him to know there's somebody that doesn't act like the world, because there's somebody who accepts God's will for their life for today. Amen. Now, I didn't give you all that story. Feel sorry for me or anything like that. God has blessed all that tools. Over $900 worth of tools was in the back of my truck, stolen. Every single thing I had been given to me. Everything that had got taken. Church here, a church there, a mechanic here had given me some tools. I mean, I had Snap-on tools and stuff had been all given to me so that I could serve wherever we go. Brother Mike already knows I try to work and fix things wherever I go. God had given me things to help in the ministry. And as I was putting that list together for the insurance claim, I started crying as I was looking at all the good things, and I was thinking, God gave and God took away. I didn't even know how much all that stuff was worth. I just knew God had given it to me. God has been so good to me, but here's the thing. Are we willing to accept his will for our life when it all gets taken away? Are we willing to say, "God, you're still good to me"? And, you know, God has replaced almost everything that's got taken already. Are we willing to accept God's will for our life for today? Let me give you one last thing that I see here in the life of Job. Not only worship comes when we have a submissive heart, 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto other, yea, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If you humble your God and say, God, I'll accept your will for my life today, God will exalt you when it's time. He did that for Job. I want to give you this last thing, because this is what I really see. You can worship God when your relationship with God becomes more important than any circumstance you're going through. When your relationship with him becomes more important than any circumstance you're going through. When Job faced all he had, he rose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell upon the ground and worshiped. I was in a prison in Missouri a few years back. And I remember walking in, it was a dormitory situation, there's men all over, bunks all over, and a man come up to me and said, Brother John, chaplain, he said, can you pray for me? I've only been in prison a short time. He said, my family has disowned me. My mom and dad won't talk to me. My brothers and sisters won't have anything to do with me. They won't take my phone calls. They won't respond to any of my letters. As a matter of fact, they send his letters back. They said, my family has disowned me. He said, I'm saved, gave testimony how he got saved at a church camp when he was a teenager, and now he's in prison. But he said, Brother John, can you pray? God will work with my family. I just want to hear from them. I'm so lonely, I want to hear from my family. I said, sir, I will pray for you, but as I always say, I said, why don't you pray for yourself? Why don't you pray for yourself right now, and then I'll pray after. And there in the middle of, there was probably about 200 men all wearing their orange jumpsuits, work around in this prison dormitory. This young man bowed his head. He was probably in his 20s, bowed his head. And he started praying. And Brother Michael, I'll never forget what happened. He bowed his head and he started praying. Lord, I ask you to be with my family, help my mom and dad, working their heart. I just want to talk to them. And about there, he just stopped and started crying. And there with everybody looking around, he just started weeping. He said, God, it don't care. It don't matter if I never get out of prison. God, I just want to have a relationship with you. It don't care. He said, God, it don't matter if my mom and dad never talk to me again. If my brothers and sisters never talk to me again. God, I just need to know that you're here with me right now. And there in front of everybody looking around, all that's going on in the prison, I saw a man that his circumstances didn't matter. All that mattered was him and God. Yeah. And there in a prison with men looking all over, men who would shame him for crying in public, didn't matter. All that mattered was between him and God. And I saw men worship God in the least likely place you would think somebody could worship God. Why is that? Because he realized his relationship with God is more important than anybody who's around him, any circumstance he was in, whatever was going on in his life was not important. All that mattered was his relationship with God. And in Job, I think we see that. It don't matter who's standing there. It didn't matter those servants were standing there, the bearers of bad news. It didn't matter he lost everything he had. All that mattered was his relationship with God. If we're going to worship God on the worst day of our life, our relationship with him has to be more important than anything else going on in our life. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed.